Hello and welcome back to Kitchen Curiosity, the podcast that delves into the heart of food service equipment and the hospitality industry. I'm your host, Radford Chancellor, and today we're broadcasting from our studios in London, and I'm thrilled to be joined by two fantastic guests. The first guest, John Lampert, is a non-executive director of the Craft Bakers Association. With extensive experience in the baking industry, John is here to share his insights in the bakery world, the challenges that bakeries are facing, and also to discuss the community fostered by the Craft Bakers Association. Alongside John, we also have Simon Moon, who's a sales director of Mono Baker Equipment, part of the Alley Group, who brings a unique equipment perspective to the table. Together, we're going to explore the art and the science of baking, the trends shaping the industry, and we're also going to be talking about a few tales and some of their experiences. So grab a cup of coffee. If you've got a pastry nearby, have one, and join us as we delve into the delicious world of bakery. Welcome, John. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Well, welcome to the show. And how was your journey in?
My journey in was relatively simple. Okay. I live quite close to London, so yeah, no issues for me getting here today.
Yeah, nice and convenient. And the weather's okay, so...
It's okay, yes.
Which is good. So, tell us a bit about your background and what led you into the world of bakery.
I guess I was always a child that couldn't sit still. I was someone that... at school, didn't like to sit behind a desk for a long period of time. So once I finished my GCSEs, I picked some what I would call very random subjects at sixth form college. And a few months into that, I realised that this just wasn't for me.
Okay.
At that point, baking wasn't part of my world. It wasn't something that I was either doing on a regular basis at home or even in my thought process. But interestingly, I applied for a job at Sainsbury's and I walked into the door, and this was in the 90s. There was no internet. There were, you know, you literally just applied through a newspaper advert, and I applied at my local Sainsbury's store. I walked in, sat down in their office, and they basically offered me one of two jobs. They said, yeah, we like you. We'd like to employ you. You can either go and work in the bakery or you can go and work on the fish counter.
Wow.
And it was at that moment in time that my entire life
was
mapped out. So I sat there, I looked at the lady, and it literally took me 1 second, and I said, I'll do bakery.
Fish could have been a completely different conversation.
Fish didn't sound quite as exciting as bakery. So so that's pretty much how I started my career in the baking industry.
And you stayed, obviously, I mean, you're still in the supermarket sector now. Did you move out of the supermarket sector, or have you kept?
No. So basically, I then spent the next 28 years of my life at Sainsbury's. And So I started my journey then at 17 and pretty much went through a long program of training, NVQs, apprenticeships, etc. But basically learnt the science and the art of baking. And I loved it because, as I sort of said at the start of the conversation, sitting still behind desks wasn't something that really I was very good with.
Yeah.
So to start to use my hands and then see, you know, products at the end of it, really, I got such a kick out of just, you know, starting with flour and water and yeast and then seeing these creations at the end of it. I just loved it. And then I learnt more and more and more. And in essence, I really grew over the next 28 years. And I ended up actually as the operational specialist for Sainsbury's, working out of their head office in Holborn in London.
For the whole group?
For the whole of, the UK. So I was really proud of the journey that I had. And my mum, wow. she had this famous picture of me in my Sainsbury's brown uniform when my very first day when I was 17 years old. And then I ended up working out of head office.
But you're not at Sainsbury's anymore.
I'm not at Sainsbury's anymore. So now I work for Tesco. Mm-hmm. So 7 years ago I decided that I wanted to not work for the same company my entire life.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to grow my network and grow my skills, and also I think test myself in an environment where people didn't know me like I knew everybody in Sainsbury's.
Yeah, of course, and the company, Sainsbury's, grew quite a lot, didn't it? Because it used to be quite a southern company, would that be fair to say, back in the 90s, or was it still quite...
I think it actually is fair to say that, and it's obviously, it grew over that long period of time, and, you know, I spent a lot of my life there, but I definitely got to a point where I wanted to change and test myself and grow my network. And that really meant that I then took an opportunity at Tesco. And that's the job that I do today. So I'm the bakery specialist at Tesco.
Right. Okay. So a slightly lighthearted question before we get into some more nitty-gritty, if you like. If you could eat one type of bakery baked goods, if you like, for the rest of your life, what would it be? I mean, a lot of pressure there.
I mean, I've tried and I've made a lot of products in my lifetime. But one product I particularly love and I always gravitate towards is a maple and pecan plat.
Okay.
And it does bake particularly well in a mono oven as well. But it's, that's definitely one that I gravitate. Breakfast or later in the day, that's a particular favourite of mine.
Okay.
But I could have listed a lot.
Yeah, of course. And it's definitely. I mean, obviously, you've got a passion for bakery. Do you do much bakery at home or, you know... Family, you have to do family cakes and wedding cakes and that sort of thing.
I do quite a lot of baking at home. I mean, I love to cook as well as bake.
Okay.
And I do like to make breads and iced fingers and things like that at home.
Oh, great.
Scones, products like that. But I love what I do. I don't mind admitting it. And people ask me the question quite a lot, but I love what I do. I love my job. I'm very lucky to do what I do and have worked in the industry for such a long period of time.
So you're the non-exec director of the Craft Bakers Association.
That's right, yeah.
What is the Craft Bakers Association and what do you do? What does it do?
So I joined the Craft Bakers Association 4 years ago and sit on the board currently as a non-exec director.
Okay.
So the Craft Bakers Association is a trade, it's a member association, and its sole purpose is to exist for independent bakeries and bakers in the industry.
Okay,
I work for
a big corporation,
a retail supermarket, and have done my whole life, the CBA, you know, we are there to represent and support independent bakers. So that's, you know, your high street bakers, your could be one shop, could be 10 shops,
there
could be different production facilities that produce products for retailers, but ultimately, you know, there's a lot of bakers out there across the UK, and really our core purpose is to support those bakers and to provide support, training, expertise, signposts, areas such as, you know, energy efficiency, to really help members. So if you're an independent bakery, you can join the CBA and then you can have access to a whole range of benefits. And we are an organization that just keep investing in ourselves to support our members.
Because I imagine it's quite difficult if you're a small bakery
with
I don't know, 3, 4, 5 whatever shops or bakery, there's where do you go for that extra help, that extra...
You're exactly right. So we can support, you know, smaller independent bakeries with things like personnel type queries.
Okay.
We can support with environmental health type questions that obviously come through.
Yeah.
We support with training, so our members have got access to training. But there's lots of other benefits as well that we provide. We also are what we would call a voice of the industry.
Okay.
So when there's challenges, which there very often is in the world that we live in today, you know, we pride ourselves on being a voice for our members.
Yeah.
So a good example of that is our CEO met with an MP recently to talk about the national insurance increase, obviously would affect our members and their costs.
Mm-hmm.
So whilst we provide benefits and we signpost our members to a lot of different areas of support, we also pride ourselves on being a voice. And
lobbying government, that sort of stuff.
Lobbying government and being involved in big discussions.
Right.
So where there's some changes in flour fortification, this is a good example where actually, you know, we're proposing, and it's gone through Parliament now, but we're proposing folic acid being added into flour fortification. We'd have sat on that panel. It was actually myself that sat on that panel and really advised on what the impact of that would be for the industry, I guess.
Okay, so that's actually, we go to the House of Commons for that?
Or did I didn't know it was on Teams, but yeah, not as glamorous as that.
Committee room, as like on TV. And, So, I mean, what are the biggest challenges, do you think, for the smaller artisan producers?
In today's world, there's a huge amount of challenges. I think I could talk about a lot of challenges and probably talk for a long period of time, but think what I'd like to do is probably summarise to say that, you know, we live in a very uncertain world, and there's a lot of uncertainty around the world that then knocks on to industry in this country. So whether that's energy costs, mm-hmm. whether that's cost of goods based on, you know, lots of things going on outside of the UK, across the world.
Yeah.
You know, I think the biggest challenges that we see are increasing costs, uncertainty, things like energy as well is quite a big one.
Yeah.
And then also training and capability and skill.
Yeah.
You know, that's also a challenge that our members face. But our members, they work so hard. Their bakery, you know, running a bakery, and I know this from spending many hours of my life getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and baking bread.
Yeah.
It's such a rewarding job. It's a great job, but it's hard work. So our members have, you know, to run their bakery, to produce what they need, to service their customers. There's so much going on every day that when something comes into their lap, so to speak, like an increase in energy costs or a gap in supply or a bit of a training gap, then they are the areas that we pride ourselves at the CBA, at the Craft Bakers Association, to support to and provide those signposts and pick up some of that heavy load. Mm. The best way I can summarise it is our president, John Foster. Great guy, inspirational character, but he says to our members, "We've got your back." Right, and that's exactly how that's a great strap line, and that's exactly how we approach everything that we do.
Yeah. Are you, because I mean, where I live in Guildford, there's a bakery that I go to like every day, and they announced actually 2 weeks ago that they're closing.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and I think the margins are quite, from what I see looking in, margins are quite tight.
Challenging,
and the product value is quite low, I guess. Are you seeing that more, that there's more, or is it a balance of opening and closing? It's just the changing market?
I would say that we are seeing more members drop away than join, which is obviously a concern.
Concerning, yeah.
I think it's not unexpected, but you're right, margins are much more challenging now. The cost of goods, cost of energy, ingredients, etc.
Yeah.
It's really getting tougher and tougher, I would say, in today's world for our members to really succeed and continue to grow.
Are some of them adapting with using online, if you like, being able to like do like a delivery, like through Deliveroo or Just Eats, or I don't know, that kind of, because that market seems to be booming.
It's a great question, and we've seen quite a few of our members really succeed and change. And COVID was obviously a serious situation, but what actually a lot of our members did in COVID was change and adapt, and online and deliveries were something that really
took off.
It definitely took off.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would say that a big part of our world is to really showcase to our members what's important to customers in the marketplace now, what are the trends, what's changing, and help them as well, our members, evolve in terms of the current marketplace and in the baking industry.
Yeah. So, I mean, can you share a kind of funny, memorable story about any bakery disasters that you've had that you want to admit? I mean, I know it's difficult, you're top of your game, and you might let your colleagues know.
I have seen, to be fair, with, you know, 35 years in the industry now, I have seen plenty of disasters in my time. I think one of my favourites, it wasn't my favourite at the time.
Right, okay.
But one of my favourites was, I was a bakery manager at Sainsbury's, and it was Christmas, and Christmas is obviously
busy.
Very, very busy. And I remember I said to the baker who was producing rolls on that day, right, we need to make 10 racks of rolls. That's a lot of products.
Yeah.
And I kept watching this baker out the corner of my eye, and he kept wheeling. He was making the product rack after rack after rack. The roll plant was just making, you know, 16 kilo after 16 kilo of dough, thousands and thousands of rolls. But I saw the guy standing there scratching his head because an hour went by, 2 hours went by, and these products weren't proving. And he realized after about 3 hours that he hadn't put yeast in any of those racks.
Oh, my word.
So every single rack of rolls had no yeast in. But it was the moment lives with me forever, because I'll never forget him standing by prover, scratching his head, opening the door, shutting the door. No, it's not proving up. And yeah, so that was a disaster, because that was Christmas.
And there was a lot of product.
A lot of product. So we ended up having to do, a very long day into the next day almost to recover that.
Oh, no. Poor guy.
I'm smiling now, but at the time challenging.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a chef by trade, but baking is not my thing at all. So, you know, I can do it, but it can be quite... It's rather technical at times, isn't it, really, in quantities and all of that, and you need to get it right.
Whenever I talk about baking, I always use this analogy. So baking is a science.
Yeah.
Jamie Oliver cooks.
Mm-hmm.
And you can add, you know, a bit of this and a bit of that is a way that Jamie would describe that on TV.
Yeah.
I'm probably doing him a disservice, so apologies.
But no, you're right, you can.
But baking is purely a science, and there's many occasions where I will go and troubleshoot in a bakery in one of our stores.
You have to stick to the recipe, to the spec, otherwise you're going to go...
And it's really important that equipment, for example, so important, you know, that it can deliver that science, because baking is a science.
That makes you feel slightly better. So, I'm looking for more into Jamie Oliver.
I hope Jamie Oliver's not listening. I did give Jamie Oliver a tour of a bakery once.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, which was really good, actually. I really enjoyed it. And he was quite fascinated by the equipment and how it was working, but...
Because I guess, you know, you've got chefs and you've got butchers and you've got bakers, and we all kind of cross over, but they are different skill sets, aren't they,
absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
So what's next for the Craft Bakers Association? Any exciting projects or anything on the horizon that you can share?
Yes, so there's some sort of key areas on our minds. The first one I'd just like to highlight is that we're running a business day in September at Wembley Hilton.
Right.
And that business day... We've run it for a few years now, but it's really evolved, and we've found that to be a really great moment in time. The Craft Bakers Association is made up of members, but it's also made up of industry supporters. So industry supporters are businesses that provide goods or services to our members.
Okay.
So Mono Equipment would be a good example, that they're an industry supporter, part of the CBA, and would be providing goods and services to our members, but it's an opportunity for our members and our industry supporters to all meet, to showcase, to talk, to network. And during that day, we will also talk about some key pieces of work that are on our mind and that we're working on. So one area we're working on is around sustainability. So we're working really hard to support our members and support the industry in general in terms of sustainability. How can we be more sustainable? How can we hit some targets around sustainability and really signpost our members, but bring on board as well expertise out in that space to work with us and help and guide us.
Okay.
So that's one area. We've also just recently launched a brand new service, which I'm really proud of. Actually, it took me about a year to create and develop, but it's called Bake Care. So basically what that is for our members, if they have any equipment breakdowns or they need any sort of particular servicing of equipment to keep them moving.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, what we learned from our members, a lot of our members were almost like Googling engineers and support. Yeah. So we created a specific benefit where actually we can just put a QR code on their equipment, and if it breaks down, they can scan it, it reports it, and then we can get some attendance. And it's all...
Specialist bakery service companies.
Exactly, and it's all at CBA negotiated rates. So that's where we're really helping our members to keep those costs down. So that's been a...
It's a big benefit, because if you're running a small bakery, that's not, you haven't got time maybe to... Or you can't even negotiate those prices, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah. So we're really proud of that one. And that's a really good example where I took my retail supermarket experience...
Yeah.
And learn from that particular model to bring that into the world of the CBA that then benefits the craft smaller, sector. Yeah. So that's really something on our mind. And training as well. So we're really working hard to encourage young people.
Okay.
We work with a lot of different training providers around the UK, and we really want to continue those partnerships so our members have access to great up and coming bakers and can really continue to grow the industry.
Okay. So if people want to find out more about the Craft Bakers Association,
yeah,
they just Google it, or what's the
yes, so we've got a website. Everything that we do is on our website.
Okay.
So
yeah, they can apply there or get more information or whatever they want.
Yeah, they can join there. Everything that we do, everything they need is pretty much
on. Do they have to be just bakers, or could it be, say, a restaurant that had a bakery attached, or how does that work?
If there's any sort of, if it's someone that's literally baking in their garage, at home, just for us, marketplaces, etc. Or if it's, like you said, a farm shop or something like that with a bakery attached. At the end of the day, we support bakers
in whatever form.
Yeah,
that comes. Okay. Yeah. So, any kind of final thoughts or messages to the audience?
Probably my final sort of thought is that I'm very proud to have worked in the baking industry. I think it's an amazing industry, and I'm always in awe whenever I visit our members or work with other bakers around the industry. And look, for me, I think my final thought is just to applaud that passion and just say that, I feel so lucky to have been part of such a great industry. And that's pretty much my final thought.
Yeah, really. I'm sure the association are happy to have you as well with your experience from that massive organisation and bring that in to the benefit of their members.
I've absolutely loved being part of the CBA, and it's very proud to be part of that organisation.
Great. Well, John, thank you for sharing that. This first part of the podcast, your insights and passion for baking, it's pretty clear, obviously. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to be talking to the sales director for Mono, and then you're going to come back and join us for a group discussion, if you like.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
Welcome to the world of Ali, the largest and most diverse food service equipment company on the planet. With over 110 brands under the Ali Group umbrella, we serve more than 150 countries worldwide. Our brands are at the forefront of innovation, offering cutting-edge technology and ergonomic designs that keep pace with the ever-evolving market. But we're not just a global leader, we're a network of local companies working together to deliver excellence. Ali Group's unmatched expertise in food service makes us the proud exclusive sponsor of Kitchen Curiosity. To learn more, visit aligroup.com.
So now I'm excited to shift gears and welcome my next guest, Simon Moon, the sales director of Mono Bakery Equipment. His wealth of knowledge in bakery equipment and technology, Simon will provide some fascinating look into the tools that bakers need to create their culinary masterpieces. Simon, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Radford.
How are you?
Yeah, very well. Very well. Good. And you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. And good. You found it, so...
Yes.
That's the first thing. Yeah. So, obviously, you're the sales director of Mono Baker Equipment, mm-hmm. part of the Ali Group. Can you tell us a bit about your background, how you got in to Mono and then also Ali? I don't know if you were with Ali before.
Yeah, I've been in the food industry for 38 years.
Oh, okay.
I started work with a frozen food supermarket, stacking shelves.
Okay.
And had an opportunity to join Mono.
Right.
So I started as an administrator, sales clerk. And then I was given an opportunity to go out on direct sales. Initially just covering our salesmen when they were on holiday.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. And then I was given an opportunity to do it full time.
Right.
And it was in the early days of a product called Bake Off, where, you have a convection oven and frozen bakery products.
I'm still doing that at home.
And I was told, look, here's here's car keys, here's some brochures. You can go anywhere you want other than bakery, because we've got that covered.
Okay.
Go and sell in butchers, convenience stores, petrol filling stations, which was character building, I have to say, at the time, because
Wow.
No one knew the company, no one knew the products. So, you know, because it was so early on in Bake Off. But, you know, following that, I went into key account management for Mono. So looking after our larger retail customers, you know, such as the supermarkets and large food service, food to go retailers.
So that Bake Off was for Mono.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. So then,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that Bake Off was for Mono. Yeah. So key account management for Mono. And that's where I met John, actually, over 20 years ago, I guess.
Okay.
Through working, you know, with Sainsbury's. And from there, you know, into my current role, which is sales director, looking after our sales teams for the artisan bakery sales team, key account sales team, and our international sales team.
Okay. So you've been with Mono quite a while.
Oh, well over 30 years, Bradford.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So before, was it AF?
No, it was a frozen, it was a company called B-Jam. I don't know if you aware of it.
No.
No, a frozen food supermarket. Right. So, you know.
And then changed over to
Amory. And then I changed over and didn't look back.
Right, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, for our listeners, we cover a lot of food service equipment, obviously. We don't cover much bakery, funnily enough. In fact, actually, this is the first time that we've covered bakery. So maybe can you give us an overview of Mono Bakery equipment? What's the key offerings? What you do?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, I'd love to tell you about Mono. So we're a designer and manufacturer of bakery equipment.
Okay.
Established in 1947, and we came into the Ali Group in 2007.
Right, okay.
So we've got a 22,000 square metre manufacturing facility in Swansea, South Wales.
Cool.
And we manufacture bakery and food service equipment for food-to-go areas, artisan bakers, coffee shops, through to in-store bakeries, supermarket in-store bakeries.
Made in Wales.
All made in Wales.
Amazing.
So, and it's a,
that's a good
it's
story.
It's a great setup because, you know, when visitors come to the factory, we take them for a little bit of a visit around the, you know, a bit of a tour. And it's flat sheet steel at the top end of the factory, and they can see the process all the way through because we manufacture most of our components in-house as well. So, you know, you can see the journey from the top end of the factory all the way through the equipment being built and then through to, you know, being finished and delivered, installed, commissioned and trained. And I think that's really what has kept me kind of inspired at Mono after all these years. I just love that engineering part.
Yeah.
You know, it's just fascinating to me. I love to see all the processes.
Yeah, it's also nice to hear it's made in the UK.
Yeah,
because that's
absolutely
a kind of dying thing at a certain point.
Yeah, and you know we've got probably 300 plus products that we manufacture. So it's a very wide range. You know, coming into three sections really. You know, our oven section, which is the largest for us, can be convection ovens from 13-amp plug-and-play units for, you know, food-to-go areas through to modular commercial convection ovens with, you know, three different types of controllers and self-wash, if you want. So very wide range, different tray sizes as well available. And we manufacture a range of rack ovens, both rotating and static.
Right, okay.
And actually we're launching a new double rack at FoodX 25. Okay. This year, which is really interesting. And we also have an extensive range of deck ovens, again, entry level, plug and play for micro bakeries or startup bakeries, through to, you know, a wide range of commercial deck ovens from a single tray capacity up to 24 tray capacity.
Okay. So like from the very small to
from
huge.
A very small to very large, know, and with some interesting technology as well. One that John and I have actually been working on for the last 5 years, which is a convected deck oven.
Right, okay.
So that's using convected technology along with the traditional way a deck oven would work.
What's the benefit there for that?
We're certainly reducing energy. So we know that we're reducing energy costs by 50%, something that, you know, every baker should really be interested in.
Because the deck ovens, they pull a lot of power.
They pull a lot of power.
Okay.
So we're reducing energy costs, but we're also baking for less time and at a lower temperature.
So again, another...
And again, that's another benefit.
Hmm.
So, you know, all bakers should really be interested in that.
Yeah, definitely.
In that kind of benefit, I would say, because, you know, utility costs are going up all the time.
And you get more product through.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For a smaller thingy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what sets Mono aside to other bakery equipment manufacturers in the market?
Yeah, I think, you know, touched on our oven range, but, you know, to complement that, we have a dough processing range as well.
Yeah.
Water meters, dividers, bread molders.
Okay.
That kind of product. And a confectionery range. Donut fryers, donut jammers, and a range of cake depositors from, you know, our Epsilon range, which will do shoe pastry, macaron, all the way through to a Universal, which is industrial range, which will do, you know, you can have up to three hoppers. So place in three different mix or three different color mixes onto the tray.
Wow.
Infinite numbers of shapes of cakes and even and even build up layer on layer of cakes in one operation. So,
so it's kind of like the vast range
it's
of
a
products.
It's a vast range
and
of products.
Short, yeah.
And then we complement with third-party product then, mainly from within the Ali Group.
Okay.
You know, things that we don't manufacture, which we'd like to provide our customers. So spiral mixers, plantry mixers, cream machines.
Okay,
Cake donut fryers and a full range of refrigeration from Williams.
From Williams, yeah.
Yeah.
Your sister company.
Your sister company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose that's the benefit there, isn't it, of the Ali? You've got lots of resources you can pull on if you need to pull on it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and within Mono, we have, you know, highly skilled team as well. Our own research and development department. So we're pretty flexible and pretty quick to identify where the next development project needs to be.
Yeah.
So we can turn around pretty quickly.
Okay.
And meet our customers' needs.
Yeah. So more slightly more personal question, if you don't mind. Do you have any guilty pleasures when it comes to bakery goods? So that you particularly can't resist at all? Or?
We have the best bakers in Britain and some of them from around the world visiting us in Swansea in our test and training bakery. So I've seen loads of products and I taste them all. It's not great for the waistline, but I love to test them. I think for me, probably, you know, a pan of choc with a coffee is really my go-to.
Yeah, in the morning, yeah.
In the morning, you know. I'm not a baker.
Okay.
You know, but I've been in the baking industry for...
So you don't make much at home?
I do a scratch pizza dough, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But I certainly wouldn't call myself a baker and certainly not in the presence of John.
Okay. How does Mono Baker Equipment support the needs of the bakers in various, you know, different sectors and industries, really?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've tailored our equipment to the needs of different size, you know, the different sizes of our customers.
Okay.
Whether that's a micro bakery or a startup bakery, you know, through to your regular private baker, wholesale baker, industrial baker, supermarket in-store baker. You know, it's the scale of that equipment where you can usually find something in our range.
Right, okay.
That fits the customer.
You have to tailor your
products. We tailor the products.
Depending
on what the client wants, yeah.
And is there any kind of advice that you could give to a new, I mean, obviously buy your equipment, but a new bakery owners, you know, to choose the right equipment?
Yeah, I think...
If you're starting out as a startup or something.
Yeah, you definitely need to do your research, you know, and speak to as many people as you possibly can in the industry.
Yeah.
And use the available facilities. You know, I touched earlier on our test and training bakery.
Mm-hmm.
That's always open for people to come down and use our equipment.
So they can come down.
Yeah, free to use. They can always come
test
down.
Test their product.
Test their product. You know, some people are very secretive about the ingredients that they use.
Yeah.
Other people aren't. You know, it's just a facility that you can use. And it's not just equipment manufacturers who have that. Flour millers will have the same.
Okay.
Ingredient supplies will have the same. So I would say, you know, make sure you talk to as many people as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Try before you buy, I guess, is the strap line there.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you know what you're getting and it fits your business. you know, I would say probably the last point is invest in a quality spiral mixer and quality ovens. Because they are the mainstay.
Of course, yeah, because otherwise
you're going to get because you can't do anything really without them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Are you seeing any trends in that? You know, are you seeing more starting, or is it just a sort of same as before?
Just after COVID, we saw a big surge in startup bakeries.
Okay.
With people reaching out to say, you know, what's the first piece of equipment that I need?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, oven is the main part of the bakery, really.
Yeah.
And with startup bakeries, you know, some of them don't have the space, they don't have the available power, mm-hmm. you know, which is why we develop things like, you know, the entry-level deck oven, mm-hmm. plug and play, which is 13 amps, so it doesn't take up much space, but it still uses the same technology as a normal deck oven, so you're still using top heat and bottom heat
okay.
to bake your product, and you can bake on the deck sole as well.
Right, okay.
But it's a bit more affordable and gets people into the baking industry.
Do you, in bakery, is it mainly electric or do you...
Yeah, it's mainly electric.
Do you do any gas equipment or not really?
Yeah, we do a gas rack oven.
Right, okay.
And we supplement the range then through sister company Bongard,
who's okay.
also in the Alley Group, and they do some gas ovens as well.
Mainly electric as a precision?
Electric is pretty much where the baking industry is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Simon. Thank you for sharing your insights into mono baker equipment and, you know, the landscape of the bakery machine, if you like. And it's clear that technology's got a key part to play in the baking process. We're now going to just take a very short break, and then John's going to rejoin us as we get into a group discussion about bakery and also the up-and-coming exhibition in the NEC. So now welcome back John Lamper and Simon Moon as we get into a group chat talking about the up-and-coming FoodEx at the NEC. We're going to explore this event and how it's a valuable resource for bakers. I'm also going to be looking at the wider sort of industry, bakery industry in the sector. So welcome back, John and Simon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you give us a brief overview as to what attendees should expect from the FoodEx exhibition, which I think is the 7th and 9th of April?
Yeah, that's correct.
At the NEC.
Yeah, I mean, it's Britain's biggest bakery show. So
okay.
it's the one that we all want to be at. If you're a UK manufacturer, delivers top trends in the market. So, you know, attendees can see exactly what's going on.
Right, okay.
What innovations are available.
Okay.
So not just in terms of equipment from my point of view, Radford, but, you know, that across all spheres of the baking industry.
Be that suppliers of the actual raw ingredients.
The actual raw ingredients, you know, equipment, services that go alongside the
okay.
baking industry. You know, but there'll be a large number of interactive events and guest speakers
okay.
there as well. So that's always worth looking at on the FoodEx website.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And John, your different perspective, because obviously you're going
yes.
there as a kind of visitor, if you like, or as a customer.
That's right. For me, FoodEx is a really important event to attend because it's something that it's where a lot of the innovation around equipment or ingredients or ancillary services, etc., related to baking and baking industry, it's where all of that is showcased and comes together. And when I walk into that event, I'm walking into it with a view to, you know, being inspired. What's the new innovation that's out there, and really immersing myself in the industry in you know those 2 to 3 days
yeah.
and really understanding what's coming, you know, what trends and what's out there and what's you know, what's the new innovation that I can really get my teeth into, but also will support my business as well to
yeah.
move forwards.
Okay. What are the key themes and topics that might be covered at the expo, do you think, that are critical for bakers to focus on?
I think improving operational efficiency is
yeah,
probably
course,
paramount.
Yeah.
To
yeah,
people,
of course,
you know
yeah.
That's a key topic, I would say. You know, reduction in waste, using less energy.
Yeah, of course, yeah, massive. Yeah,
you know, massive again, and future proofing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say, you know, those are the main topics.
Big yeah.
And sustainability,
of course,
as well.
Which
John spoke about earlier. Yeah, that'll be a key topic, I'm sure, at the exhibition.
Definitely. Yeah, it's an event that, you know, we would really encourage our members to attend, purely for many of the reasons that Simon has mentioned, and also some of the reasons that I covered off earlier. You know, from a operational efficiency, sustainability perspective, you know, you can really see a lot of different suppliers, a lot of different pieces of equipment, a lot of different innovation. But most crucially, you can just have so many conversations there. And what I really love about the event is just that industry network and just being able to visit different stands and just have a cup of tea, have a conversation, talk about your business, talk about your challenges, and just gradually, you know, immerse yourself in actually within that environment. You are going to find some solutions that are absolutely going to take your business forwards.
Yeah,
and support, you know, your colleagues and your customers. So for me, it's a really important event. But I think having those conversations, having that interaction is crucial.
Yeah, and obviously the market's competitive these days. I mean, all markets competitive. And you touched on it, really, I suppose. But will the FoodX, will it give them some edge on? You know, will it give some edge for competition? Do you think maybe that's new products or? I don't know. Is that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you've got to be there to walk around and understand exactly what fits your business and where it's going to take you forward. So if you're not there, and again, it's engaging with people.
Okay. Yeah, and you know,
networking, walking on the stand. Starting a conversation, I think, is crucial.
Yeah.
Because the piece of equipment you're looking for or the ingredient that you're looking for, you might not see it on the stand, but engage in a conversation.
But they might have it.
And they might have it.
Yeah.
Or it might not be the right product. You think it's the right product for you, for your business, but perhaps it isn't. And, you know, there's a better route to go.
Yeah, of course. And they're keynote speakers there. Presumably.
Yes, quite a few of them over the three days.
Obviously a lot of knowledge to be learned and things like that as well. Okay. And Simon, in terms of equipment innovations, what should bakers be on the lookout at the expo this year?
I think the innovation that people should be on the lookout for is, you know, space saving, time saving, energy saving products, you know, all the kind of buzzwords that we've been talking about really this morning. You know, we have a wide selection of our standard portfolio of products on the stand, but also five new products that we're bringing
just coming out,
which we're bringing to FoodX. So, you know, we have our Bake Zone, which is a new concept for us.
Right. Okay.
One that I've worked on with John over the last 2 years, actually, to bring it to fruition. It's a new concept, and it's a self-contained mini bakery.
Oh, wow, okay.
That can go on the shop floor, so it encompasses an oven, all the storage space that you need, and merchandising units.
Okay. So it could go into a retail store or...
Yeah, for retail outlets that don't have the traditional amount of space needed for a bake-off operation, and this unit can sit on the shop floor.
Okay.
And you bake in it. In the morning, fill the merchandising units and then top up through the day as you need it.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. That's going to be there.
That's going to be there. Yeah, okay. We're excited about that one.
Sounds good. Yeah. Concept.
We have a modular convected deck oven as well.
Okay.
So I did touch earlier in the podcast about our convected deck providing 50% energy saving.
Yeah.
We've brought out that model. We were making it just in a solid build. Now we're making it in a modular build for people who have access problems into their bakeries.
Okay.
So you can build it on site. It'll get through a standard door.
Right, okay. Cause,
you know, and you can build it on site, so that opens it up to a lot more customers as well, so they can have the benefit of this energy saving. Yeah. And also we have a double rack oven being launched.
Okay.
With six-stage baking and drainless steam system.
Okay. So that's a new rack oven. What does that mean?
Yeah, so traditionally we've made a rack oven where you just put one rack of product into it.
Okay.
And it rotates.
Right, okay.
So we've been asked probably over the last 18 months by numerous customers whether we could do a larger unit.
Okay.
So again, with our R&D department, they've got their 3D CAD system that they put into operation, and you know, we've turned that around very quickly. So that'll be launched. We have a 6-tray convection oven with wash facility as well. Okay. It's a new one for us.
Yeah.
In portrait tray orientation. So for people who don't have much space left or right in their businesses, that one's coming out. And we're supporting Williams Refrigeration as well with the launch of a new retarder prover.
Okay.
With touchscreen controller, significant energy saving benefits over the previous model as well. So that'll be one to look out for.
So five quite new innovations.
Five new innovations and of course, you know, exclusive exhibition discounts in place as well. Right? But I better get that one in as well. It's always somewhere.
Yeah, sounds like there's a lot to look
at. There's a lot to look at on the mono stand here.
And John, I mean, for people that maybe haven't been to the expo before, any advice, how they get the most experience? There's 3 days, so I don't know what,
I think my advice would be, there'd be a few points here really from an advice perspective. I think try and give yourself as much time as you can because it's a great exhibition. There's so many people that you can talk to.
Yeah.
And just give yourself that time to immerse yourself around the whole area and just to get the most out of the event. If time is pressured, then absolutely plan. Look at the floor plan. Think about, you know, what are the solutions you're looking for and then target yourself in terms of that. I would also say that there's some good speakers there. British Baker Magazine are in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really fun events going on. So I've been very fortunate to have been asked to be a judge for Britain's Best Loaf at the event.
Oh, okay.
So there's a Britain's Best Loaf and a Britain's Best Cake. So again, there's a lot of product innovation.
Yeah.
Experience going on as well. So
look, they're baking that there, or they bring
that'll be brought with them. But it's again, it's a celebration of the industry.
Yeah,
but it's also a place where you can really think about your business and find those solutions.
Yeah,
and have those conversations in today's world where there's a lot of challenges that we're facing into.
Of course, yeah. Simon, have you got any advice for people that are visiting for the first time, maybe, or they should plan their day?
Yeah,
or?
just to echo what John said, really, you know, if you can, download a map showing all exhibitors, you know, and highlight where you want to go to make the best use of your time.
Yeah.
And again, you know, go on the stands, talk to people.
Because they may not have it showing, but they might have it.
It might be in the portfolio, it's just not on the stand, and that goes for everything. I think just start a conversation, really, is the best advice I can give.
Okay. So just slight different tack, John.
Mm.
How do you think bakers can utilise feedback from customers and sort of trends to innovate in their sector or in your sector?
It's a great question. I think the way that I would answer this is that we've got lots of different bakers and bakeries across the UK and lots of different areas, and bakers really know their customers.
Right.
There are specific trends that come through, and there's a lot of celebration of those trends either at our CBA Business Day or the British Baker Awards in London. You know, there's a lot of celebration and there's a lot of information as well out there in terms of publications of what the latest innovation and trends are. But what I would say is we are seeing some amazing bakeries out there that are absolutely driving innovation, and whether that's coming in from America or Europe, some of those, you know, those tastes and flavors, we're seeing a huge amount of innovation across the industry, which is really exciting. And there's so many smaller independent bakers that are just bringing to the market some outstanding propositions. So I think just, you know, reading publications, attending events like the NEC, or, you know, looking at whatever's in the CBA publications or British Baker publications, you know, bakers can really keep up to date with what's out there and what's really going on. But when you talk to a baker, most bakers pretty much know their customers, know who they're serving, and absolutely make sure that they're in the right place
and tailor their offer to their market, because I guess it's different even in the UK, different regions,
absolutely different areas, different demographics. There's always quite a lot going on in terms of different need states.
Simon, I mean, obviously you're a manufacturer of baker equipment. Is there any kind of misconceptions that you find from bakers about improving their operations in terms of that capital expenditure, buying all the equipment, or not really?
Yeah, you know, I think there's probably a misconception that it's not cost effective to invest in equipment. And it definitely is worthwhile doing.
Of course.
You know, and it's not just about putting the capital up for it. You know, there's some excellent leasing options out there, interest-free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can take it over a number of years as well to reduce your capital outlay. But I would think if you're looking to invest in your bakery, you should be looking for equipment that's versatile.
Okay.
So future-proofing.
Yeah.
You might want it for a particular product, but if that piece of equipment can also lend itself to producing other products as well that you're not doing at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. So you're not sort of locked into
one. So you're not locked in. That's really where you should be investing.
Yeah. Okay. But with those capital projects, is sort of access to funding and things, is that a challenge you're seeing or not so much really? Is there more that could be done there from government?
There's probably more that can be done,
yeah.
I would say, from government's point of view.
Okay.
You know, some funding is available.
Yeah. I suppose it depends on the size of the
operation. But it depends on the size of the operation, yeah.
If it's a big corporate, maybe that's not an issue.
Exactly.
But, yeah. Okay. So, John, I mean, when we spoke before, we touched on sort of some of the challenges, if you like, in the market. And a common theme that we've had here in the studio, if you like, is obviously staffing, which everyone's talking about, and it's almost like a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah,
I guess you're seeing that as well. I'm just preempting that.
Yeah,
is anything that can be done, or yeah, what's your view on that?
So, look, it's a very good point, and it is a challenge that we see in retail as well as in the craft sector. So,
okay.
You know, with my supermarket hat on, with my CBA hat on, we see training and capability and growing talent as a real challenge for us. But I think really what it's about now is it's about evolving in today's world to try and answer some of those questions and improve some of what I've just mentioned there.
Yeah.
So a good example is that within my business at Tesco, we've created a digital platform where actually we coach and train bakers remotely.
Okay.
So bakers can upload videos,
answer
particular modules, and it's myself and other specialists within the business that actually then we watch the videos, we advise and we guide, and we basically guide a new baker through all of the skills around mixing and molding and production. And so that you know, that digital world
is something that
my business has really embraced and I'm really proud of, you know, what's been created in the business.
It's slightly ahead of the curve because we are seeing it actually in general education sector, aren't we, that online schools, online universities, that kind of thing. So, but it's at the edge of the start of the...
Yeah, it's our first sort of real step into that digital training world. Mm. But it's really worked for us because what it's done is it's enabled us to, rather than, you know, a new baker, we're relying on them learning off somebody else next to them, which is, you know, there always is going to be someone else around, obviously, but it enables us to really take some of that in the environment where they're making and baking all day long. We take some of that heavy lifting, put it onto a digital platform, and then help and support our colleagues in terms of learning. And there's so many great examples as well in the craft sector where that sort of approach is starting to come in. And you know, we were at the CBA, we work closely with a lot of different training providers, and ultimately a big part for us is we know there's a bit of a skills shortage and a bit of a skills challenge. Yeah. So we're doing everything we can through the CBA website, through working with our partners from a training perspective, using platforms and digital information to really grow capability within the industry.
Cool. And Simon, I know it's more... You're on the manufacturing side, but in your business, are you facing those similar challenges?
Yeah, I think we've faced similar challenges since COVID.
Mm.
You know, I think pre-COVID, if you joined Mono and you got through the first kind of 3 to 6 months, you're pretty much a lifer. You know? And we see a little bit more of a transient kind of attitude, certainly from younger employees, you know. But I think, you know, once they get your hooks into engineering, then, you know, it's a great place to be. Yeah.
Do you see automation? Is it coming in, automation or robots, that kind of thing?
I can definitely see it coming in the not too distant future.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Operational efficiency is a big area that's will continue to evolve, but continue to be an important part of the industry. But you know, artisanal bakeries and making product by hand will always have a big part to play as well.
Because I guess that automation is already there, really, in a lot of the really big
bakeries,
like the big production factories, I suppose, or that sort of thing.
But. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, and lastly, if we just go back to FoodX, which is at the NEC on the 7th to 9th of April, is there anything you're particularly looking forward to, or is it just the end of the day getting to the bar, or what's going to be the highlight?
I think for me, you know, I'm looking forward to some of the sessions
there
with the guest speakers as well. Of course, you know, food and drink trends in 2025. That'll be an interesting one. So I'll make sure I'm available for that session.
Okay.
And Britain's Best Loaf, of course.
Yeah. I would say that's probably going to be, you know, something that I'm really looking forward to in terms of celebrating the industry, celebrating the, you know, our amazing bakers out there that just work so hard day in, day out, producing amazing products. So I'm very honoured to be part of the Britain's Best Loaf judging panel. Yeah. And I'm really excited to see all of the
loaves. How many entrants are going to be in that? Do you know?
I'm not actually 100% sure how many entrants there'll be, but it'll be a good number.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
I guess you're not giving much information before, so you can't be pre.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Pre-biased.
Absolutely. Yeah. it'll be CBA white coat on, and in we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fresh eyes. Try not to eat too much bakery. Wow.
Yeah.
That would be my nightmare. I just wouldn't be able to stop. So. Well, that brings us to an end to today's conversation about bakery operations, the up-and-coming FoodX Expo and NEC. A big thank you to John for coming in to the studio today from the Craft Bakers Association, and also Simon from Mono Baker Equipment, and sharing your expertise and valuable knowledge to listeners. So thank you.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you very much.
It's been okay.
Brilliant.
Yeah, really good.
Great.
Yeah, well, fantastic. Thank you. Next time, we're going to be looking back at the HRC show at Excel in London, and we're going to be discussing AMBAC, kitchen design, and the world to net zero. Coming up in later episodes, we're going to be visiting the Merrychef factory. We're also visiting some factories out in Italy. We're going to be talking about the latest innovations in cooking, technology, and so much more. If you've got any questions or topics you'd like me to cover, please reach out to me at radford@kitchencuriosity.co.uk. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you for tuning in to Kitchen Curiosity, and don't forget to click subscribe as we continue to explore the heart of food service equipment and the hospitality sector. I've been your host, Radford Chancellor, and you've been listening to Kitchen Curiosity.
Kitchen Curiosity is written and hosted by Radford Chancellor and is edited and produced by Tom Anderson. Kitchen Curiosity is exclusively sponsored by Ali Group and is a Sound Rebel production.